The Old Testament reading for this, the second Sunday after the Epiphany, comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 49th chapter. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing in vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, 'It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth.' Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise the Lord, all nations.
Extol him, all peoples.
For great is his steadfast love toward us. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. The epistle reading comes from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the first chapter. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes to us according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came, baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. And this is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you were paying attention last week, and I hope you were, you remember that we celebrated the baptism of our Lord when he went to the Jordan River to be baptized by John, and when the Spirit descended upon him like a dove, while the voice of the Father proclaimed that Jesus was his beloved Son, with whom he is well pleased. And if you remember that, you might be thinking to yourself that there's been a mistake in our service this week, because once again, we are hearing about the baptism of Jesus by John in the Jordan River. I mean, did we goof and run the wrong week's bulletin? Are we out of stuff to preach about, and so we're doubling up on readings now? I mean, of course, it's a solid no to both of those. And in fact, this actually isn't a repeat reading. Not just because it's from John this week and last week was from Matthew. But when you look a little more closely, you'll see something very interesting about today's reading. It's not actually the same event as last week's reading covered. Last week, Matthew recorded the events that happened at the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. This week, St. John, the apostle, and I'll call him that because he's different from John the Baptist, whom he's writing about, and things can get very confusing very quickly when there are two Johns involved. But St. John is recording the events of John the Baptist, telling the crowd about the events that happened at the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. Which all sounds a little bit confusing and convoluted, but since it's the Gospel of John, we've sort of come to expect that, right? But you see, St. John's emphasis here isn't actually on the baptism of Jesus. Not that he's saying it's not important, because it absolutely is. But what St. John is writing about is how people reacted to that baptism and what impact it had on the lives of those nearby. In the verses before today's reading, people were asking John the Baptist if he was the Messiah, and he adamantly denied it. He proclaimed that he came as the forerunner of the Messiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." And in today's reading, that's exactly what we see happening. The crowds are listening to John when Jesus draws near. So what does John do? He bears witness to the Messiah, as he was called to do. He proclaims to the people all around him, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He tells everyone what he saw when Jesus was baptized, and he tells them that there is no doubt that Jesus is the Messiah whom God had promised. He proclaims the good news of the gospel, pointing everyone in the crowd to Jesus Christ. And do you know what happened? They listen. At least some of them do. One in particular was a man named Andrew, one of John the Baptist's disciples. As a disciple of John, Andrew would have assisted him in his ministry, but more importantly, would have learned from him, would have heard his teachings day in and day out. Andrew trusted John. He believed John. He was a faithful disciple of John. And so when he hears John on the second day proclaim again about Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God," Andrew leaves John? Now that seems kind of weird, doesn't it? Except, not really. Because knowing John's ministry, hearing all that John had been proclaiming, Andrew understands that it was all about the Messiah, not John. That Jesus is more important than anything. And so when the Messiah appears, he takes to heart what John had taught him. He pays attention to the witness that John bore about Jesus, and Andrew follows Jesus to learn from him. John bore witness to Jesus, boldly proclaimed who he was, and it changed Andrew's life forever as he went on to be one of the 12 apostles of Jesus. But that didn't happen immediately. Before becoming an apostle, before learning at the feet of Jesus, before even taking Jesus up on his invitation to come be where Jesus was staying that day, Andrew had something else to do. Now, what on earth could possibly be more important than following the Messiah? What in the world could Andrew have put off meeting with Jesus for? What was so important that he basically told God, "Thank you for the invitation, and I will be there, but first I've got to go do something." What did Andrew do before going to the house of Jesus? Well, he, like John the Baptist, bore witness to others. He went and found his brother, Simon, also called Peter, and told him the good news as well. People who know Jesus, who understand what Jesus is really all about, they bear witness to others. They tell everyone the good news. They proclaim to everyone around them, "Come, we know the Messiah, and you need to know him too." John did this. Andrew did this. Do you? Do you bear witness to Jesus in your life? Do you tell your friends and your family, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world"? Does your life and the way that you live it tell the world that you believe the word of the Lord, that you take it seriously, and that you make it a priority in your life? When was the last time you shared your Christian faith with someone? When was the last time you had an actual conversation about Jesus outside the walls of this church? As a believer, as someone who knows what faith in Jesus means and what a lack of faith means, are you bearing witness to those around you? If we're honest with ourselves, the answer is probably a sad and shameful no. And I absolutely mean we here. Even as a pastor, when I look back on how many opportunities I've let go by, how many easy and obvious places I could have and should have brought Jesus into the conversation, how I daily fail to bear witness to my Lord Jesus Christ, I am truly ashamed. And I fall into the same traps that we all do. "Oh, they probably know Jesus already, so I won't bother." Or, "They look like they wouldn't even care, so I'm not going to waste their time or mine. I mean, they know that I'm a Christian, so if they're interested, they'll ask me. And I don't want to come off as some kind of a weirdo. I want them to like me. And then once I do, then I'll probably tell them about Jesus. Except I probably won't." I mean, so many lame excuses. So many missed opportunities. So many times in each of our lives where we failed to be a light to the world. Where we kept our faith to ourselves, where we kept our mouths shut to blend in with the crowd, rather than boldly bear witness to Jesus. And it's not in just what we say, is it? In our lives, we are called to bear witness. We are called to live differently from the world around us. We are called to act in a way that makes the world notice us, makes them say, "What is it about you?" But so often, we don't. When those around us are abusing God's name, do we speak up and tell others how precious of a name that is? Or do we join in so we can feel accepted? Do we speak out against the evils of this world, against abortion, homosexuality, against those who seek to silence the church, against all the things that our culture says are good and right and normal but are clearly against the Word of God? Or do we just shrug our shoulders and say, that's life these days, because that's way easier? Do we teach our children that church is more important than sports or other activities by making that considerable effort that it takes to bring them? Or do we bear witness to the ways of the world and say, well, we'll go to church if it's the only thing happening and it's convenient that weekend? Living together, sex before marriage, telling people that we'd rather die quickly than bear the crosses of old age, vulgar language and rude jokes, gossiping about one another and spreading rumors all over town, putting our own interests and comfort ahead of those around us, not even caring that our neighbor is condemned to hell. I mean, let's face it, there's an awful lot more that we could be doing and should be doing to bear witness to the glory of Jesus Christ. We should be proclaiming his word. We should be a light in this world of darkness. But why? I mean, why does it matter if we tell others about Jesus? What difference does it make if we actually live a sanctified life of witness or a common animalistic life of the world around us? Why should we bear witness to Jesus? Well, because he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Do you know what that means? It's not just an honorific title or a fancy way to say Messiah. Jesus is the sacrificial lamb, the one who stands in the place of the sinner and dies so that they can live. At the Passover, each household was to take a lamb without flaw or blemish and place its blood upon their doorframe, both up and down and across the top. They were to kill the lamb and then mark themselves with its blood, so that the angel of death, the wrath of God, would see the blood of the Lamb and pass them over, sparing them from death and condemnation. The Lamb, who had done nothing wrong, is killed so that those who were facing death could be spared. This is what John meant when he proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This is what Jesus did. He sacrificed his life. He shed his blood so that those who are marked by it would be spared from God's wrath and condemnation of death. Not just one family, but for the entire world. Through the prophet Isaiah, God says that it is too light a thing for his suffering servant to be the savior of just Israel. He says, "I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He died on the cross not just for Israel, not just for those who currently believe, but for the entire world, for all sinners, for all those trapped in darkness and facing the wrath of God because of our sin. Every single sin ever. From the first sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to the last blasphemy uttered when Jesus returns again in glory, every single sin was laid upon Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, and he was slain. He was sacrificed upon the cross, and his blood was poured out. But all those who were marked with that blood, all who look to him in faith, God's wrath will pass them over, as their sins are forgiven, as they are covered in Jesus' righteousness, as they are washed and made clean, as white as snow. All who look to Jesus Christ in faith, who believe in his word, who trust in his death and resurrection, no matter how rotten and wretched their sin was, they will receive the free gift of eternal life in heaven. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the glorious gospel that we hear each and every week, hear in our readings, our hymns, our liturgy, our Bible study. That's the blessed, unchanging truth that is given to each of us in our daily Bible readings and devotions. That's the wondrous message of forgiveness, life, and salvation that is for all people, young and old, far and near, clean and unclean, rich and poor, pious or filthy, wretched sinner. The Christ. cross and the empty tomb of Jesus Christ, it is for all people, changing their lives, turning them from their sin, setting them free from the clutches of the devil, giving them hope in a world of despair and desolation. And we sinners who have heard that word, we have the glorious honor of bearing witness to that gospel. We have been blessed with the continuous and joyous opportunity to share the word of God with others, to see it change lives of those around us, to speak the words of eternal life that break Satan's hold on this world. We know the love of Jesus Christ. We have his unconditional forgiveness in our lives. We have the opportunity to live as beacons of light in a world of darkness and death. How can we do anything but that? How can we not share that good news with others? How can we do anything but live lives that boldly proclaim that Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life, and that the wicked ways of the world are meaningless and empty? How can we help but proclaim the good news to Jesus in what we do, think, and say, so that others around us would know that forgiveness and be spared from the fires of hell? Because we know that in Jesus alone, there is forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. We know that without Jesus, there is nothing but shame and eternal torment waiting for our neighbors and our family. We know what's at stake. And so with joy and boldness, we bear witness to the word of our Lord. The peace that comes from knowing Jesus, knowing his love and his forgiveness, knowing that he forgives us even when we fail so miserably at being his witnesses, that is a peace that everyone in this world needs. And by the grace of God alone, that is what he has given to all those who hear his word and believe it, to all those who look in faith to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So go, be bold in the power of the Holy Spirit. Bear witness to the world. Boldly proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in all that you do, think, and say, so that those around you will notice, will hear that precious word of God, and will have that same assurance that you yourself have been given. That by the cross of Jesus Christ alone, by his empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.